Well, good morning, Lakeside. It's good to see each and every one of you here this morning. It's good to have some new faces this morning as well. It was a privilege to meet you at the door this morning as you came in. Just so thankful for a place we get to gather and enjoy such sweet fellowship together. Today we are ending or bringing our Better Together series, our summer series, to a close this morning. And this morning, we're going to be looking at Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. And I would encourage you to take out your copy of God's Word, open it up, or in the bulletin, it's there as well for you. Please open up your copy and join me there at Galatians chapter 6. As we talk today, as life together as broken sinners. Life together as broken sinners. When I was 5 or 6 years old, so just picture me as a little tyke, not what you see in front of you right now. I believed in my little, big, imaginative brain that I could fly like Superman. So I proceeded to act on that belief, and I pulled out a dining room chair. And I wanted to get up as high as I could, so I tried to climb up to the onto the back of the chair. And I thought if I got that up high and I jumped, I'd be flying around the house and my parents would just be amazed. Well, when I went to step up on the back of that chair, the chair instantly went tumbling down and I leaped. But to my surprise, I didn't fly, but came crashing down. And my left arm didn't look so good, and it hurt pretty good. And after going to the ER and having a doctor set the bone, I was home again, sitting on the couch with a cast supporting my left arm. And I was dejected that I had been duped by the lie that a man could be able to fly on his own. And so today we are going to look at how we do life together as broken sinners who constantly get drawn away by the lie that sin will satisfy us more than God's way. And we find ourselves on the floor, broken, in need for help and support. Father, thank you for this sweet time that we've had this morning. God, I am a sinner saved by your grace. May that come out as we talk and look into your word today of what you have to say of how we are to be living life together as broken sinners. Do the work that only you can do in each one of our hearts, and it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. By now, I hope and I trust that you're at Galatians chapter 6 with me. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, let's dive in. What we're going to look at today is simply this. We're going to look at what to do with a broken sinner. As a broken sinner myself, what are we to do with other broken sinners? And then we're going to really focus in on the keys to victory that this passage gives us. The keys to victory in living life together as broken sinners. And so right away, we see in verse 1, brothers. And I love that word. I'm going to stop right there because that's who we are in Christ. We are brothers and sisters in Christ today. It's that special relationship, that special bond that we have in Christ as believers in him, as a family. And then he goes on to say, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression. So our first thing that we are to talk about here is what is this idea of being caught in any transgression? And the idea here is that this is a picture of a believer who is caught again in the trap. And it's the trap of believing the lies that whatever that sin is that looked good, they were believing the lie that it will satisfy us more than living God's way. And we need to be pulled out of that trap. And so he goes on to lay out then these three things of what do we do with a broken sinner as other broken sinners who love them, who are brothers and sisters in Christ. What do we do? Well, the first thing we do is we set them up. And this is in verse 1. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. I want to focus on that phrase, the action phrase in here when we talk about it. We'll come back and look at the keys of victory later on. But set them up. This idea of should restore, that word restore is the idea of mending, repairing. It's the actual idea of setting a broken bone like I dealt with as a little kid. And we are called to do this in a spirit of gentleness. Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, if anyone is caught in any transgression, condemn them. It doesn't say, if anyone is caught in any transgression, to go and talk about it to all the other people and give them all the juicy details and share about it. No, it says, restore them, set a broken bone with a spirit of gentleness. And this idea of gentleness is the idea of meekness. And meekness is not weakness, let me remind you today. It is actually power under control. It's the idea of using personal influence and power to serve and help others rather than to hurt or control them. It's the idea of being compassionate. With this idea in mind, that could be us in that trap. That could be me in that trap. And so I have compassion on them to come and help them and restore them in a spirit of gentleness. One of the things that goes along in this section that I have to talk about here is the idea of forgiveness. And forgiveness is much more than just something you say to somebody who said, I'm sorry for, and they name their sin. And you say, well, I forgive you. Forgiveness. Grab a hold of this today. Forgiveness is a promise to not bring up that sin again to hurt the other person. It's not about forgetting it. It's about actively choosing not to bring it up in order to hurt that person again. We might bring it up again. Why would we ever bring it up again? To give glory to God and the victory that we had through him. Where this practice, I believe, of setting them up should start to take place in a believer's life is with those relationships that are the closest to us, within the family. This should be something you practice in your life as if you are a believer. You should be practicing this with your spouse. You should be practicing this with your kids to set them up with the spirit of gentleness, to restore them and to practice this kind of forgiveness within the family. And then as you do that as believers and as we come together as family units into one big family, the body of Christ, we'll practice it there as well. It'll spill over from there. And so number one, set them up, restore them with the spirit of gentleness and graciousness. So number two then is to support them. What to do with a broken sinner? We set them up and then we support them. And notice I'm talking about a broken sinner. We'll talk about that as I get to it at the end here, but support them. So verse 2 tells us, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So just the action step there is bear one another's burdens. This is the idea of take up, to carry, uphold, or support. Now go back to that example of a broken bone. What happens when you have a broken bone? I know this well. You get a cast on. We set it. You set it right, you put a cast on it, maybe a sling, you take your weight off if it's a leg, you do all you can to support it and to help it and protect it to heal and to bear the burden. Now the word burdens here is the word that means extra heavy loads. And I understand that we could take this as meaning the many burdens that we share in life and that we struggle with in life that, yes, we need help with from time to time, such as sickness in our life, financial strain, deep emotional pain. Those things are real and we should support one another, but let's concentrate on the context today that we're looking at. And the context of this verse is sin, because it is the heaviest load that any of us bear. is sin and self. And so what's the best way to strengthen one another or to support one another as we support one another? What's the best way? Practically speaking, it's about accountability. Those times when we get tripped up and caught in believing the lie that sin will satisfy more than God's holy standard in his word, what we need to do then with each other is to hold each other accountable. When someone is being restored after a sin, we should make sure that steps are taken in their life to put off the sin, to radically amputate the sin and put on Jesus Christ and his righteousness moving forward. And we do that by coming alongside a brother or sister in Christ and ask them pointed, difficult questions because we love them and we want to see them have victory in their lives over sin. There are a few guys that I have in my life personally that know my heart of hearts and know where my sin is in my mind and in my heart. And I'll tell you, I'm so thankful for those men who will come up to me and ask me, how are you really doing in, and they'll name it. And they put me on the spot. I'm so thankful for that in my life because it continues to support me as I have victory over sin that Jesus has provided for me. And so get involved in accountability and be a part of being the one who holds the other accountable as we strengthen one another as broken sinners. And then number three, the last practical point I wanna make about what to do with a broken sinner is this. We need to not only set them up, restore them in a spirit of gentleness, we need to support them, but we need to strengthen them. Need to strengthen them and strengthen one another, I would say. And this is the thing God taught me this week in verse 6. So I never really saw this before, but in verse 6, it says, let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. And it's really awesome how God orchestrates this because that word for share is the word koinoneo, which means to partner. It means to be an active partner. This is in the same word family as the word koinonia, which is communion and fellowship, which is what we get to enjoy today and remember Jesus Christ through communion together. And so as a brother or sister comes out of sin, we need to be about the business of guarding our hearts from sinning, our own personal hearts, but then it's also to come alongside them and strengthen them with the word of God because that's where the power is. You know, that idea of partaking in business, you think of a business and business partners, they all work together for the better business and we're involved in something way more serious and way more important than that. And that's a business of life and death, a business of living the way we are as believers, unchained from sin. And so the best way to do it is to be in the word with one another and sharing from the word with one another of what God is doing in our lives. This is the word, practically speaking, this is discipleship. This is discipleship. I love getting together with some guys throughout the week. And what do we do primarily is we take the word of God and we say, hey, we spent time in God's word personally ourselves this week. Let me share with you what God taught me. Let me share with you how I need to respond to this and how I want to respond to what God's done in my life this week through his word. And you share together in that. And as we do that, that is how we together as believers have victory over sin. We strengthen one another up. Now, let me pause right here to say some very important words that need to be said in a message like this. And then we'll get to the meat and get to the time around the Lord's table. These steps that we just talked about, the set them up, support them, strengthen them, they are steps that we take and what we're supposed to do with a broken sinner. So what about the one who is trapped by sin, but doesn't see it that way. They choose to not look at it that way, and they don't want out. What then are we to do? What about the unrepentant sinner, the one who's not broken yet over their sin? Well, Jesus gives us that, gives us great instructions for that in Matthew 18, 15 through 17 to the church and to us individuals as believers. And as you're reading the screen there, I just want to give you a summary of it. Here is what Jesus says. He tells us we should go one-on-one to a brother or sister, not going and talking about it to a whole bunch of people, but go one-to-one to that brother or sister who's in sin, who's outwardly sinning. And it says, and if they listen to us and if they turn from their sin, we have gained a brother and sister. And praise the Lord that lots of times, that's the way it goes right there. Praise God, amen? But sometimes people have a hard heart. And they continue on in sin. And so Jesus goes on to tell us some harder words. It says, if he doesn't listen to us, then we need to take another person with us or two people with us, and we need to confront them in gentleness. And then if they don't listen to that, then we are to tell it to the church, the whole body, local body of believers, to have them confront this individual because we love them and they're part of our family and they need to be broken and it hurts us. And if they don't listen to the church, then we are to treat them as a Gentile or tax collector in our day to day is to, we are to put them out of the church and treat them as an outsider. Those are harsh words, but let me tell you today, those are loving words. Those are gracious words today. And I know they're harsh for those of us who champion love and grace. Man, they're hard. But let me give you an illustration this morning that I think will help you grasp what Jesus is saying here. When my daughter, who's 14 now, was 2 years old, Charisma, she fell off a bar stool at our in-law's house. And when we went to go get her, we looked at her and we definitely saw something was wrong because on her left arm, she had two elbows. Her forearm. And so Stephanie took her to the ER while I stayed back and watched the three kids. They did an x-ray and they saw that her bones were indeed bent, but they weren't broken. So in order for the bones to be restored, the doctor had to go and break them so they could be restored. And here's how this ties in. A believer who is in sin and is totally duped by the lie of their sin needs to be broken by the great physician. I can't break people. As much as I desire people to be broken in their sin, as much as I desire myself to be broken in my sin, it's God who does that work through his word and spirit. And so just like my wife had to do one of the most difficult things in her life to hand my daughter over to the great physician in that situation, we sometimes as a church have to take someone who is rebelling against God and continuing in sin. And we have to say, for the protection of us as believers and for the protection of God's glory and for the definitely the protection for them and our love for them, we have to turn them over to the great physician and beg God to break them. And Stephanie did that. She handed over Charisma and she plugged her ears. And she was like, la, 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 you know, that kind of thing. And then she released her ears and then the doctor broke the arms. Because it hurts, right? We love one another so much as believers. And I know of people right now who are living in rebellion and have gone through this process and it hurts my heart. And I so badly want God to break them. So that they'll be restored and enjoy the fellowship again with the Lord. And that should be our attitude to these ones who continue in sin. So believer, brother and sister in Christ, maybe you're here today and you are in sin and have not had a change of mind over it. You have even been getting away with it and you are staying in it. Today, I beg of you, see it as the trap that it is and be broken over it and agree with God that it's sin and confess it to him and confess it to the other people you need to confess it to and allow God restore you completely. For the rest of our time today, I want to talk about these keys to victory. And in doing so, I want to shift to this awesome time we get to spend around the Lord's table. Because this fits in perfectly with what we do at the Lord's table together as a family of God. We remember Jesus. We do these things. So let's look, and we'll look back into the passage again to these keys to victory. The first one is to scrutinize self. Scrutinize self. We see this in verse 1 and then verses 3 to 5. Verse 1 tells us, you who are spiritual. This is talking about those who are living according to the Spirit and not the flesh. Just look right back up into chapter 5 if you have your Bible open there. You see the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22 and 23. And then you see these words, 24, those who belong in Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions, desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So we are to be living in the Spirit, not in the flesh. That is who's spiritual. This is not telling us that we have to be perfect in order to restore a broken brother and sister in Christ and in their sin. No, because if that was the case, none of us could come alongside each other because we're all broken sinners, right? I mean, as I'm preparing this message this week, my mind and my heart are going the way just like Paul that read in Romans 7. And I cried out like the psalmist many times this week as I was thinking about this sermon. My sin is always before me. It's always a struggle every day. But then I have to come back and live by the Spirit, choose to go the Spirit way. I have to live dwelling on who I am in Christ. And so we need to scrutinize ourselves. You who are spiritual, we need to take sin seriously in our own hearts and in our own lives, or sin will seriously take us. And so then Paul gives us three things we need to put off and three things we need to put on that go along with those here in this passage. So verse three tells us, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. What's that telling us? Put off pride. Put off yourself and put on humility. Put off pride, put on humility. One writer said this, you are not too important to help someone. You are not too important. You don't have such a high position that you can't stoop down to help somebody. Like, think of that. It works the other side of things too. It could work in this way where it's this, you have such a fear of failure because you're like, oh man, if I tried helping them, I'm gonna mess it up and I don't wanna mess it up. And it's God's work. You're just joining him with it and seeing what he's gonna do. Like, get involved and love and restore with gentleness. We are all sinners in all this. So put off pride, put on humility. The next one is put off comparison and put on self-examination. Now, verse 4, as you read it, says, but let each one test his own work. And then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. Well, that kind of, does that contradict, you know, not thinking too highly of yourself? Like, I don't understand what he's saying here. Well, I had the same problem, so I had to study a little bit. And as I studied it, I found out that as I examine myself and I focus in on my own heart and on my own life, I will see the sin in my life. But then I will see the great Savior who saves me from that sin. And my boast in me is in me and what God has been able to do in my life and what he has done in me and through me. Has nothing to do with me boasting of myself. It has everything to do boasting about what Christ has done in me and what he will do through me. And what that does is it motivates us to not compare ourselves to others. Oh, I wish I was that spiritual. Or it just does away with comparison. So put off comparison and put on the self-examination. Look at your own heart. Look at all and reflect on all that God's done in your life, and it's all Him, not you, and rejoice in that. And as you do that, you won't fall into the trap of comparing yourself to others. It's just you and Christ, and it's ultimately just Christ. And then the last thing is this: put off laziness and put on personal responsibility. Verse 5. For each will have to bear his own load. But wait a second, Paul, you just told us to bear one another's burdens. Well, two different words: heavy load, and this load here is just like your backpack. Now, I had kids for a reason, so I could go on hikes and let them carry my backpack for me at times. I'm not that mean, I don't do that. No, I know better than that. I know that they have their backpack, I have my backpack, I'm responsible to carry my own load. I have personal responsibility, and I need to put off laziness. You could even, this is the idea of bearing the general issues of life, the things that we all have to do. This is the idea of the young man or young woman who has struggles with setting the alarm clock and getting up to going to work. Like, they don't need somebody to come alongside them and bear the load of having to, like, hey, get up, it's time for your wake-up call. No, they need to just be responsible and bear their own backpack. And they need to put off laziness and be responsible for their own pack. And as you do that, as you allow God to, and you scrutinize yourself with this, with the word in mind, He changes you and He equips you to be able to do what He's calling us to do. And that's bear one another's burdens and be broken sinners together and deal with each other in that way. It's amazing to me that here in this passage, and then in Matthew 18, if you read the whole chapter of Matthew 18, you'll see all around the text of dealing with other sinners, these teachings about dealing with our own sin and dealing with pride and making sure we're ready in our own hearts to forgive and making sure we truly desire restoration. In fact, Scripture talks more about how we are to deal personally with our own sin than it does with managing sin of others. But that's not an excuse. As we manage, as we deal with our own sin before the Lord, then God allows us to come alongside other broken brothers and sisters and restore them and strengthen them and support them through that time. Now, 1 Corinthians 11, 28 through 32 tells us, this is in the context of communion. That's why I say we're at the communion table right now. We're just gonna go right into communion soon. And so let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For one who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. And then he goes on in more serious words, that's why many of you are weak and ill and some have died. But if we judge ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So take your life seriously and take examining yourself seriously as a believer. This is not talking about that you can lose your salvation, okay? This is talking about if there's some of them, this is hard words to understand, hard stuff, but here it is. It says some of you are not doing this, and that's why some of you are weak and ill and some have died. No, this is not about losing your salvation. This is about God looking at you like you keep bringing, God's saying you keep taking my name and dragging it through the mud, and I want you to give, you were made to give me glory, and you keep doing this. So guess what? I'm gonna make you sick. I'm gonna do everything I can to break you. And if that doesn't work at some times, and this is not for me to say and any of us to figure out, it's God. Sometimes He takes people home early. And so we need to scrutinize ourselves. And then the last key to victory, which takes us right into communion, is this: succeed in Christ's likeness. Succeed in Christ's likeness. Look at verse 2. I skipped over it on purpose. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is perfect sacrificial love. Allow me this morning, as we remember Jesus Christ together as family today, allow me to remind you today of Christ and what He's done for each one of us as broken sinners. You see, real quick, you see, only perfect people can live in the presence of a perfect God. If that is true, then we have very bad news, because we are all sinners. We have all missed the mark of his perfection. Therefore, there's no way in and of ourselves that we can have a relationship with God. For the wages of sin, God tells us, is death. There has to be death. But here's the good news. But as I share the good news, don't miss the high price. And I want to just dwell on that for a moment. The good news is God loved us so much that he gave his only son, Jesus, who lived the perfect sinless life, being fully human, which is represented by the bread that we take around the communion table. And then he went to the cross and he shed his sinless blood, which is represented by the juice that we take around the communion table. But here's the thing that needs to wash over us in this context of dealing with one another's broken sinners. On that cross, Jesus, God's only son, who enjoyed perfect relationship and perfect fellowship, which is the joy of the relationship, he enjoyed that with God the Father from eternity past to that moment on the cross when he cried out these verses, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? I have four kids who have I had the privilege to know for 14 to 21 years, and I've had a pretty good relationship with them. Not perfect though. And I can't even imagine turning my back on them ever, and what pain that would give me and what pain that would give them. But here you have God the Father, Jesus the Son, who has to become sin for us, who knew no sin. He becomes sin for us. And in that moment, he's paying the price for our sin. He's exchanging his righteousness for our sin. And God the Father can't have anything to do with them in that moment. And he's all alone. And he lays his life down, paying in full the price for our sin. And that's the only way that God the Father could make a way for us, sinful people. His most precious creation. It was the only way that we could have can have relationship with them again, was to have his son Jesus take on our sin so we can have his righteousness, so we could have this great exchange take place in our own lives. It paves the way for you and my and our sins to be forgiven and for us to know that we'll be with him forever. Praise the Lord that I am free from sin. This time of remembrance at the communion table, then, as we turn to this, is for believers in Christ who have admitted that they are sinners and asked God to save them through Jesus. And I know that in a group this size, there has to be someone who is still dead in their sins, and you're still caught in the trap of sin. And you've never been fully persuaded that Jesus is the only way to get out of that trap. Listen, you can be set free from your sins today. Just confess, agree with God that you are a sinner, and then just ask Jesus to save you, to rescue you, and he does it. Amazing. He does it. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says this, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you are fully persuaded in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be rescued. For with the heart, one believes and is justified, declared righteous, not guilty. And with the mouth, one confesses and is saved. I implore you today, turn to Jesus and be saved. And then believers, we are truly better together because of Christ. Remember today that we all are broken sinners who need each other, who have been radically saved and rescued because of Jesus, but we're still struggling. That thing I don't wanna do, I do. And the thing I wanna do, I just can't. Oh, help. And we're in this together. And God tells us how we do this. He says this, he says in Ephesians 4:32, he says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, for Christ's sake, in Christ, forgave you. Praise God that we have each other. So right now, what we're gonna do is we're gonna turn and take communion together. So in a minute, I'm gonna pray here. But after I pray, when you are ready, I would invite you, as a believer in Christ, I invite you to come and get the two elements. Get the bread that reminds us of Christ's perfect sinless life that he lived for us in his body. And then come and also take the cup of juice that reminds us of Christ's blood that was shed for us so that we could have our sins wiped away. Come get those elements. There's a table here and there's two tables on the side and there's a table in the back with gluten-free. And then I would invite you to hold on to those elements and reflect on the message, reflect on what God's word has said this morning and hold on to those elements. And then once everybody has their elements, we will partake together in a beautiful picture of the fellowship and the oneness that we have in Christ as we remember him. Father God, thank you. Thank you so much for your son. Lord, not one person in this room deserves your love and deserves your son to die for us in our place so that we can have eternal life. But God, thank you that that's exactly what he did. And thank you that he rose again on that first day of the week to show that that was acceptable to you, that he paid it in full and you accepted the payment. Thank you for the cross. Help us as we remember during this time what Christ has done for us. Lord, I pray for the one or many in here who don't know Christ. Lord, would you do the work that only you can do in their heart to have them confess their sin to you and receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And then they join us in communion. And then Lord, I pray for the brother and sister who is caught in sin right now. Lord, would they confess it to you right away? And would they confess it to those who they sinned against? And then God, you promised to forgive them and to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. Do that work right now. And then Lord, keep us all taking sin seriously because your son took it very seriously. We love you. Help us remember now in Christ. It's in his name I pray, amen. Come when you're ready.